Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made a mistake. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else. And I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show. You know, and so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I didn't find out until it was too late. It's a shame. Love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
All right, folks, welcome back to Meet Me in Applebee's, your severely travel-delayed racing podcast. I'm Brian with, as always, with Rob and Ashley. Folks, how we doing this week?
Oh, I'm doing great personally, but
I'm still alive.
Yeah, we all had long weekends at the racetrack, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Last week, we're already upon a new weekend. So last weekend, I guess we had long weekends, but
yeah, we've all had our issues getting home. I was home in New York for my birthday. Rob's on the road doing his tour stuff, so that is why this show is out so late this week. But yes. we're not gonna recap the race too much because we're already talking about fucking Vegas. But we did all go to races this weekend. So who wants to start with their race recap?
Well, I think a good way to go through this is just go day by day here, and we can all kind of cycle through. So, Did anybody go anywhere on Friday? I know, Brian, you were out in upstate New York trying to hit up Super Dirt Week, but it got rained out, didn't it?
Yeah, no, that wasn't until Saturday. We can, right. So, yeah.
And True Love, you were like at a Greyhound station, right?
Oh, yeah, I didn't travel till Saturday morning, so I was at home.
Well, I guess I'm up. Well, Friday night, I went to the Thompson World Series at Thompson International Speedway, about 20 minutes south of my house. I love that track. By the way, got some great news over the weekend that they are returning for 2024 with an expanded schedule. A lot of people were, and this happens every fucking year because the track is it's run on a lease, I believe, by the American Canadian Tour guys. And every year it's like they're closing this down. This is the last year. This is the last time you're going to get to go. And fortunately, that wasn't the case. And they announced that the they are returning next year with an even more full schedule, a much greater or an expanded weekly racing program, which is fucking sweet. And then the Monaco Tri-Track Series, which is. Probably my favorite modified racing series in New England. And there's a few of them, but that's definitely my favorite one. They are going to be hitting the icebreaker next April. So glad to see that place back. Again, a lot of racetracks are closing. There's a lot more of them closing than opening, and it's good to see one, especially as old and legendary as Thompson, because this is one of the oldest ovals in the U.S. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But it's one more year at least, and I gotta say, like, that the show on Friday night was fucking awesome. Met up with my good buddy Chris Davis. He brought his fiance out, so it was nice to meet her. We had a couple beers and watched some racing. As I was sitting at work on Friday afternoon, I was like, there's no fucking way they're going racing. It was another weekend, because I was bitching about the show last week, if you remember, that rain was just looming heavy in the forecast. Saturday was projected to be a complete wash. Friday had turned into what looked like a complete wash. And then Sunday was like maybe the only day it might happen. But and as I was sitting at my desk at work looking out the window at like 2 o'clock, it was pissing rain. I was like, there's no fucking way. And then I look on the internet, and then the Modified Racing Series, which is a great fucking name for a racing series, I guess, race car series. They posted a photo of them drying the track, and it was just like a guy in a fucking lawnmower out there, pretty much. And I was like, there's no way. There's no fucking way. But sure enough, come 4 o'clock, the skies opened, or they cleared, rather. The rain moved out. I drove down to Thompson, and they were a couple hours behind schedule, but they got the entire show in, and it was a beautiful night of just sitting outside, perfect temperatures. It was like 65, something like that. Wasn't too cold, wasn't too hot, and some really great racing headlined by the Milton Cat Modified Racing Series, formerly known as the Valenti Series, and just a hell of a race that Jake the Jet won, old Jake Johnson in Old Blue. Definitely. Actually, no, that's not true at all. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Just making up names.
Well, I think he got wrecked is what it was. Let me pull this up here. Again, it was a long night of racing and it got delayed pretty severely. But again, they did get the entire program in. I did get a pit pass this time. I've never wandered around the pits at Thompson, but it is kind of a cool facility, tucked out in the woods in Connecticut. And yeah, just a really nice night. And there was a there's a guy who sells like, and this is, we live in the fucking future. And the reason I say this is because they sell fucking THC cocktails at Thompson now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're cheap. They're like $5.
Huh.
So I got sufficiently, I don't know if high is the right word, but I definitely had a few of them.
Did it have like a fun name?
No. But it was this guy, and I talked to him for like 15 minutes because he was cool as shit. But
because you were both stoned.
Exactly, yeah. And I smoked before I went in, too. So great headspace. But,
what was the THC level in those things? Did they even know?
I couldn't tell you. He's like, I'll give you a little THC since you seem cool. And I was like, that's not a great idea, but I'm sure. Yeah, let's go.
I see. I haven't really messed with those too much, to be honest. As much as I love weed, it's not really my thing. I don't know why.
I'll be honest, it just made me really sleepy. But it was
of course, cool.
But it was definitely very cool to be at a facility like that, an old racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
Not a place where you would expect to see anything weed-related for sale. That's for damn sure. And that was cool. I'm going to go ahead and say it was Jake. Jake won that race. I forget who got moved by somebody. I don't know. I'm completely fucking this up. We're going to have to go back in.
Let's give it to Jake.
Full disclosure, I have been drinking for 2 days here. I'm down in Richmond, Virginia, about to kick off this tour with my band, These Wild Plains. By the way, if you're listening to this, tonight, Thirsty Beaver in Charlotte. Saturday, I'm going to be back here in Richmond at the Camel. But we don't see each other very often, and we've been going very hard. So
I have video evidence that I woke up to this morning of him and Brady going hard.
Yeah, 3 a.m. talking about aliens and a second planet between here and the moon and shit. Yeah, it's good. But yeah, a nice night at the racetrack. The Modified Racing Series race was awesome. There's about 30 cars, which the Friday night show usually doesn't draw that many. And I hate myself for not remembering who won that. It's embarrassing, but whatever. Who gives a shit? I'm drinking a hot Budweiser in my band van right now, so that's as good as it gets, folks. But a great night of racing. I watched the late model series and some shit from the backstretch grandstands and the pits. Took some photos of the vintage modifieds, which they look a lot better when they're sitting still than when they're holding up a show. And I got to feel bad for those guys, though, because they got delayed all the way to fucking the end of the night. So they didn't make it on track till like 11 o'clock. So they're just out there putting on a museum show for nobody. But very, very good time. Again, it's always fun to go out to a racetrack with some friends and chill. And then I made it back to my house relatively early. I left before the vintage show started and then went to sleep and woke up. And by the time I woke up, they had pretty much already scrapped Saturday. So I did nothing racing related on Saturday. So that I know Brian and True Love did, though, or at least Brian did anyway.
Actually, she definitely did some stuff. We'll throw it to her first because she's gonna have way more to talk about on Sunday.
No, not really. I will talk about my Saturday.
Yeah, when did you hop on the Greyhound? Because remember you saying you had quite a ride to get out there.
Yeah, I hopped on the Greyhound at like 8 a.m. And the driver I had, she just had massive road rage, like just honking that horn everything that moved.
Oh,
hurling obscenities at people. Like, she, I don't know how I made it to Charlotte alive, but you know, I did.
Did you get there early?
I got there. No, she was still late, even through all her road rage.
In spite of all the danger.
Yeah, in spite of all her rage, we were still late. I got there like 1 and took an Uber straight to Jay's house because Jay was letting me crash on his couch. But he was already at the track doing media stuff because he has a real job. And
he's not just an old Darf anymore. He's a
he's a professional.
Professional.
Yeah. Then I took Uber straight to the track from there. Walked in. I think I got there right before the Xfinity race was starting, and met up with my friend Jeremy. And the whole reason that I decided to go to the Xfinity race that day was, one, to see Jordan Taylor, because I like him, and two, was to see Borsted. And Borsted didn't even make the fucking race.
Not even close.
No. And I didn't find that out until like three laps in, because I was sitting there like looking for that Hendrick 17. I was like, where the fuck is this car at?
You had your Borsted like Afro wig on. Your...
Yeah. So he was not there. I guess he was, I don't know, was leaking some oil and qualifying or something. I don't know. I missed that part, but...
Oh, hold on. Sorry to interrupt. Here's where I got confused. Jake Johnson won the late model feature. He dick stomped the field. That's what it was. And then Ronnie Williams, little prick, moved Jake Johnson out of the way very egregiously and ended up taking the win. Teddy Hodgen put on a hell of a show trying to track him down, though, with some very crazy dive bombs that you don't usually see in a modified desperation shit, but it was fucking hilarious, and I love to see it. And fuck Ronnie Williams. I'm not a fan of that kid, but that's who it was. Ronnie Williams, always fast, though, definitely talented, just needs to stop fucking wrecking people. And then, yeah, Jake the Jet won the late model feature. That's where my stone's little brain got confused. Anyway, back to you, True Love, on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't have many notes for the Xfinity race because I was drinking a lot of Coors Banquets during that time. Because eventually Jay came out and got in the grandstands and we all were drinking beverages. But the only notes I have are Jeb Burton is an idiot. And
that's certified.
I don't know if y'all watched the race, but...
No. I did, yeah. It was, like I said, it was rained out, so I had nothing else going on. I was like, well, I was planning on being out watching fucking 13 hours of fucking street stocks. But
I listened to it, but that's it.
Yeah.
I saw Jeb Burton treat it like a street stock, though. That's for goddamn sure.
Per usual. And then that three-wide finish at the end with Hemric trying to make the playoffs was pretty cool.
That was cool, yeah.
Even though he didn't make it.
I feel like the Xfinity cars always put on a pretty good show in the Roval. Despite all the shit I've talked about it, it's never not fun, at least in the Xfinity series anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good race. I was just kind of more preoccupied with drinking beers. And
Yeah. So, Brian, I forget how your weekend went. You weren't in Oswego on Saturday? Was that Saturday or Sunday?
No, I was. So, rain plagued the weekend, all weekend in New York, like it has most of the year. And,
boy, did it!
I guess against my better judgment, I decided to go up there because basically they were trying to run four features on Saturday. Now, Saturday was already announced like an 80% chance of rain, so they knew that there was zero chance of getting it done Sunday. There was like a 5-6 hour window of no rain that they were going to try to get as much in as they could. And basically they knew that if it didn't happen Saturday, it was going to get pushed till Monday. So let's try to get as much in Saturday.
Yeah.
But I get to the track now. I'll say this at the very least. It was a nice little, slow drive through the country, and I stopped at some garage sales and stuff and found some shit, which was good. At least made the trip financially worth it.
I do love how the garage sale is an integral part of going to a dirt race. It seems to just be something that happens. At least at my experience at Eldora was very similar. It was a lot of like, well, we got a few hours, let's go shop at these people's houses.
Yeah, anytime I can time that out, I try to do that. But so I get to the track, and it had just stopped raining around 3 o'clock when I got there. So I walked around the pits for a while and just kind of looked at cars and shit. And, Kenny Tremont's team was supposed to be running, but they didn't end up making it due to sponsor conflicts or something. So his team wasn't there. I ended up just sitting in my car for a while listening to the Xfinity race while I was waiting for the track to dry. They did all the consies, of course, and...
Literally,
they made it all the way to the LCQ, right?
Yeah, it was literally the 200. They were gonna do the 200 first because at the very least, if they got that in, that was the most important race. But cars were on pit row and it started raining. Mm-hmm. So that was it. They called it within a half hour of that, and because the race was getting run Monday, which was my birthday, I was like, "Fuck, I can't." I didn't feel like making the 3 hour drive there and back again to sit through the races, even though I wanted to. I did end up watching a bit of the race on Monday, and it Matt Williamson won both of them.
All fucking day, dude. It was so long still.
Yeah, it was. So I couldn't have done that. If they had done it Sunday, I could have come back, but Monday I couldn't have done it. I mean, the track was in horrible shape on Saturday. Just cars, you know, getting rutted and getting flats a bunch, a few flipped.
As always, it seemed like the groove was down to asphalt.
Yeah, well,
in some places, which it does, it happens. You know,
it was
dirt on top of an asphalt track, so it is what it is. But
it was in good shape on Monday, but I still, you know, I don't love the fact that they are doing the biggest modified race of the year, a dirt modified race on a asphalt track covered in dirt. It's just weird. Like it's sad for that racing series and the history of that area. You know, there was supposed to be a track built after Syracuse got closed down. That never happened.
Right.
In saying that, Oswego is a great facility. It was my first time ever going there. And my friend Stacy ended up showing up, and she actually, her parents used to own the track. They sold it 3-4 years ago, I want to say. But she still does some work there, and her dad still works there. But for Super Dirt Week, all the regular Oswego crew is gone, you know, aside from like concessions employees and stuff. But all the track crew, everybody, it's all Super Dirt people. So she didn't have to work. She'd actually never gone to a dirt race ever. Like, she grew up obviously going to all the IMSA races and asphalt stuff. She was just, their family was never a dirt family. So she'd never even been to one of these races before. So she got to hang out for a little bit and see that. Track itself was really cool. It's a really historic asphalt track from up there.
Yeah.
I was right by the start finish line, and you are very close to the track on that grandstands. Like, it is, there's like no walkway. You are basically almost on the fence. Yes. So that
very, that's really very old school, like state fair style racetrack.
Yeah, for sure. But it was, I mean, it was, I don't regret making the trip. I mean, it's always cool to go and try to see racing. And, you know, like I said, I got to hang out with a friend and got some shit. So it was fine. I ended up watching a little bit of it on Monday with my old buddy Ken. He's another dirt fan from that area. But yeah, that was it for my trip to Oswego.
That's cool. Yeah, I watched all the features on Monday, and it literally filled my entire work day. So,
yeah.
Lots of wrecks, red flags, fog, all kinds of shit. So,
my last real trip note, I will say I stopped at my favorite and only racing collectible shop left in New York, I would say, 07 Racing Collectibles outside of Binghamton. Saw Tom. Every time I go in there and see him, he's friendlier and talks more, and got a great deal on some stuff. If you're anywhere near Binghamton, New York, stop by this shop. They have a great selection of diecasts, new shirt. They have old shit in the corner always. It's a great, great shop. Check it out.
Awesome. He won't hug you the first time, but maybe after a couple of visits, he'll get a nice little squeeze when you go in there. So yeah, if you're feeling lonely.
I bet I could get a squeeze the first visit.
Yes. Sure you could.
Oh, mercy.
Oh, Tom.
So Sunday, again, Brian, you sat at home.
Well, no, I did end up, I was traveling back from, I stayed in Utica and I went to Albany. I didn't watch much of the race. I went to a car show with my dad. I did end up, just some local car show, like, okay. You know, just classic car shit. But I did go and, catch the end of the race at my friend and listener Marissa's house. Hi, Marissa. I know you're going to be listening to this. So, you know, they pacified me and watched the last 20 laps of the race with me, and that nice. Was that was whatever. But yeah, Ashley, you were there, so you can talk about it.
Oh boy, was I there.
So I haven't seen a second of this race, so this is all the first I'm hearing of any of it. So
well, you won't hear about much, but
oh no.
As a continuation of Saturday evening, I went, there's a annual motorcycle and car show in Charlotte called the Congregation Show.
Yep, that's right.
And every year, I don't get to go because it happens during the same time as the Xfinity race, but I always go to the after party, which is at the Tipsy Burro. So I went there. I was like, oh, I'll go have a couple beers. There's
There's no such thing as that.
I'll see how I see. I ran into some people I know through Instagram, so I got to meet them for the first time. But while I was there, I ran into some of my good friends from Atlanta, from the motorcycle scene, that I haven't seen in years. So that was the catalyst for
a
night of heavy drinking that definitely ended up with the Thirsty Beaver till like 2:30 in the morning.
Hell yeah.
I woke up with like strange bruises. I don't know. But I woke up at like, it was like 6 something in the morning on Jay's couch in pitch black, like total panic, like checking to make sure I had my wallet, my cell phone, like all the essentials. Very drunk. I think I might have dozed back off. And when I woke back up, I definitely threw up a couple times.
Hell yeah, get it out of your system.
Yeah, and I was gonna ride with Jay because it's, you know, cheaper than an Uber, but he had to get there early to do, you know, his real job. So man, got to the track like 11 a.m just
fuck yeah dude. On
my fucking deathbed. Everyone that I walked up to was like, good god girl, what did you do?
That's what the beaver will do to you.
It was just written all over me. So I like sat on a curb and just like head between my knees, just regretting everything for a while until I had to go inside. Went inside.
That sounds like me at Loudon this year.
it was bad. And I was like so mad at myself for doing that and knowing how miserable I was about to be for the entire race.
Was it hot? It was cool. It was a cool day, though, right?
Well, it was out front in the fan zone. It was very windy and cold. But when you went into the track and sat in the sun, then it wasn't hot, but it was like, you know, take your jacket off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll take that over, you know, 90 degree.
Yeah.
Sweating.
Yeah, any day of the week.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'll just sit here. I don't have anything else to do for hours until the race starts. There's a pre-race concert. Some fucking chode, Riley Green.
Somebody get that man a beer.
So I sat there for a couple songs. I was like, God, this is...
He's got a couple of okay ones for a pop country dude.
Have you seen him live, though?
No.
No.
No good.
Not good.
He lets his backwards baseball cap do the singing?
Yeah.
I sound like a fucking 50-year-old man. He had his hat backwards? Asshole.
I sat through about 2 songs, and then I went back into the concourse and just sat on the cold concrete floor in the shade for until driver intros.
Yeah. Nice.
Went back out into the sun for driver intros, found a nice little seat near I don't know what it's called now. I still call it Heartburn Turn.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that turn one, right? Is what it is, technically?
Yeah.
Sort of.
That sounds right. So my favorite part of the whole weekend, though, was before the race. I had met up with Jeremy at this point. So me and Jeremy were sitting there, and we look up, and the fucking Garage 56 car is sitting.
Oh, that's right.
On the end of Pit Road,
right?
Yeah. And like, Jeremy works at Colleague, so Jordan had raced Colleague's car the day before, and I guess they're kind of buddy buddy because Jeremy spotted for him before.
Oh, nice.
But we found out that Jordan was going to drive it. And Jordan was trying to get permission to do a burnout when he did laps, but he was going to have to get the okay from Rick Hendrick.
From Europe. Hendrick Cars UK division.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Before the race, he did two laps. Man, the sound of that thing in person is unreal.
It's louder than the cup car, right?
Yeah, it is. That was so cool to see.
That's awesome.
He asked for permission to do a burnout. They told him no, but he still did one anyway.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of
was there a big USA chant? As there should have been.
No.
Not in your section. Damn. Now my brother-in-law was there as well. He sent me a video of that. There was a noticeable difference in the sound of the car.
Yeah. It's
still throaty and all that, but like, mm-hmm. Good lord, that thing sounds ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was so cool to see. There's also like fireworks misstage during the right after the anthem too. Started like shooting down to the ground and almost hit some of the color guard. I mean, the race was whatever. I love going to the Rebel every year. I mean, but this definitely like parts where there's kind of a long lull and you're just kind of watching them log laps. And plus with my hangover on top of that.
Whew. Yeah, that's difficult. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
I nursed one room temp Coors Banquet for the entire race.
See, there's your problem.
I just, my body was like physically trying to reject it every time I put it to my lips.
Probably because it was warm. I'll tell you, I'm drinking a warm Budweiser right now, and it's like an egg that a goose has been sitting on all day. And I can tell you that I wish this thing was cold because my body would be accepting it a lot more. So,
The only real note I have is fuck Corey LaJoy. Jesus fucking Christ.
What'd he do this week?
He fucking, while Chase Elliott was leading and dominating the race, Chase was about to come in for his pit stop, and Corey spun out Josh Balicki for no goddamn reason.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Brought out the caution and screwed Chase's pit strategy and just ruined his whole fucking day. So, Corey LaJoy, fuck you. Every week I have a different reason to hate this man. Also, Suarez was driving like a fucking goober, too.
Yeah, I saw a couple highlights, actually. And yeah, he was really a weapon, if there ever was one.
Also,
how was the battle at the end of the race between William Byron and Allmendinger? Because I snuck out for a second after the NASCAR mod race, which I guess I'll talk about in a second. And MRN made it sound like it was the most epic shit that has ever happened.
I mean, it was pretty exciting. Like,
yeah.
Personally, I was there with my friend Jeremy, who works at Colleague, so he was all in on seeing AJ win.
That's awesome.
Very amped up.
Yeah.
And it was just at the end of the race, it was restart after restart after restart. So it's like, you know, Kyle Busch at one point was trying to go for the win to make the next round. And then you had Ty Gibbs kind of up there too at one point. And then fucking William Byron, who I thought was gonna get AJ there at the end. He was really fucking gaining on him. And I didn't, that's the last thing I wanted to sit through was a William Byron win.
And yet.
But AJ is so good at that track. Like,
yeah, he really, he's a monster. It that's why I ask, is because sometimes MRN will make some, a second gap sound like, the world is crashing down. No, and they really sold the shit out of that. Yeah. And I was like, fuck, I wish I was watching this. But
yeah, Byron definitely caught him there for a minute, and it looked like impending doom for my day, but AJ pulled away eventually, so.
That's cool. Yeah, glad to see Colin get a win and AJ get a win, because it sounds like he might be on his way out of the Cup Series. So
yeah, from what I'm hearing, he's probably going to go to Xfinity, and
that'll be that. Yeah.
That'll be that.
Leaves so he'll probably get a few more trophies, at least.
Yeah, I mean, he got them a shit ton of trophies in Xfinity.
Yeah.
Last year, so.
Yeah, I've always liked AJ Allmendinger. I always thought he got a little bit of a raw deal over the whole Adderall thing, but, you know. Who, let he who has no sin cast the first stone. But maybe if Jeremy Mayfield would have dropped a few Bible verses, he wouldn't have gotten into the shit he was into. But mm-hmm. I don't know. Didn't work for AJ either, I guess.
Wow.
That's cool. I'm glad you got to see that.
That was good. Jeremy, if anyone watches the TV replay or like social media replays, you'll see Jeremy had ran down to the fence, and he's the one that gives AJ a huge bear hug the second AJ climbs through the fence.
Oh, that's so awesome.
That was cool.
That's fucking awesome.
I was stoked for him.
Yeah, Colic is really good at the road courses. Justin Haley, too. He almost won mm-hmm. Chicago if it wasn't for a guy who's an expert at street racing being in front of him. So they always put themselves in those positions. And, yeah, usually it's AJ. And I hate to say I was surprised to see he won, because he shouldn't be, because he's a fucking monster. But that's I'm glad you got to see that. That's really cool.
Yeah,
he hasn't really performed as well as he would hoped the last couple years, so yeah, it was really good to see him win.
Yeah, I really thought that after last year that Colleague was going to have a very big year, and I thought AJ would be no question like a playoff contender, not necessarily a champion per se, but you know, round of 12 sort of, you know, car, because he was putting up top 10s and everything last year and like being in the mix, and it was like it looked like they were on the up and up, and unfortunately it just hasn't panned out this year, and you hate to see that. So especially with a guy like him who's definitely coming probably to the twilight of his career.
Yeah
But yeah, that's awesome. So you had half a beer, hot beer.
I nursed that. Yeah. Hot beer. Yeah. it was a bad day. A bad day to be me.
Well, I went back to Thompson for the day two and three of the I was going to call it the icebreaker. That's not at all what it is. The World Series, the other major event that happens. Again, Saturday got rained out. And so God bless the American Canadian Tour. They decided just to run the entire program on Sunday. And by the way, you can't have any noise at the racetrack before noon at Thompson. So they started like practice for 10 divisions worth of racing at noon. And thank God the NASCAR modifieds have a pretty hard start time of 4 p.m. because of the Flow Racing broadcast. So they actually ended up running that program first, which was great. I got more weed drinks. I got really high. I fell asleep in my little lawn chair. Didn't learn the first time. Because the cool thing about Thompson is, and there's a lot of grandstands. They're very uncomfortable. They're very old. It's a cool old school facility. But like the pro tip is, and I'm only saying this because I don't think anyone from the Northeast listens, is to bring a lawn chair to turn four, get there early enough, park it up against the fence, and you have an incredible view of the banking, all the cars ripping into three and around onto the front stretch, and you really get a sense of just how fast everybody's going. And it's, yeah, that's the best fucking seat in the house. You can prop your little feet up in your little lawn chair. You know, you can kind of, you can smoke cigarettes if that's your thing. It's kind of, it's very old school. And we did a video of Thompson when the dirt modifieds, the big blocks ran at Thompson on the asphalt. And one of the cameras was right in that section of the racetrack. And I'm pretty sure they still have like a broadcast camera up there for the NASCAR races, but it's at that exact same view if you watch that video, just in person. It's fucking awesome. But again, I got really high, and I actually dozed off during some of the fucking hours of practice. But I got myself a big pizza and was ready to go just in time to realize I had sunburned myself to where I look like a raccoon because I left my sunglasses on. But it was time for the modified race, which again, it was a great show. I think the show of the weekend was still the Friday night mod feature, But the NASCAR race was fucking great. Of course, this championship battle between Ron Silk and Justin Bonzinger is really, really tight right now. They came in, I think, separated by 2 or 3 points, something like that. And it looked as though Ron Silk was going to completely blow it. His car was dog shit for, like, the first half of the race. He dropped like a rock. Austin Beers was on the pole, so I was very fucking excited about that. And he led a few laps, and then eventually he fell back a little bit. Justin Bonzinger kind of cycled his way up there. And about halfway, Ron Silk got some shit together on a pit stop. And he started clawing his way back through the field, and then we had a race again. Just fucking awesome watching these guys go for the lead and the championship at the same time, setting themselves up to Martinsville to be an insane battle for the championship. It's very reminiscent of a lot of other races that have happened to Thompson at that time, because that used to be the season finale for the Modified Tour, but now they have Martinsville after, so it wasn't. But unfortunately, Justin Bonzinger had some sort of transmission issue within the closing laps and drop back to like 15th. So his hopes are just about shattered. We'll see what happens at Martinsville, but Ron Silk maximized and got the win. Hell of a race. Hell of a race again. Jake Johnson again in the in old blue, the three car. Threes up for that one. Threes up means something different up here in New England. that car has been running up here. That team's been running for like 3,000 years. Like, if you look back on the Richie Evans days and the old school days, that blue three has been around since then. So it's awesome to see them run up front here. I was still a little bit mad at Jake Johnson for some other shit he had pulled, being a little aggressive. Whatever. It is what it is. He wrecked Austin Beers is what it was. And that made me very angry because I like Austin Beers. So that broke my little weed coma I was in because I was filled with rage. And the rage from when I was flipping off Ronnie Williams for the other night returned. But I digress. Great modified show. I went back to the car and listened to the last, the last 20 laps of the cup race, with the exception of like the last five. So that's why I don't know who really won or what happened other than just AJ Allmendinger. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of waiting to see if I really wanted to hang around. Cause again, I was high, I was exhausted. And they only had gotten one feature in, and there was nine more. And it's like, am I really going to fucking hang out here on a Sunday night? And the answer is, yeah, a little bit. So I went back into the racetrack, watched a really great fucking pro truck race. Really aggressive racing, another wreck. Some aggressive booing from the section I was in. It was awesome. I watched some street stocks, and then I decided, fuck this. Like, and it, what sucked was the big 10,000 and win open modified show. Wasn't going to happen until much, much later in the night. And so I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I've seen two wonderful races already. Like, I'm just going to take off, you know. And hopefully it's boring. And I guess it probably was the lesser of the three races of the weekend as far as the tour mods go. But I did miss the biggest fight we've seen in a long time. I don't know if you guys have seen this on the internet. It's kind of blown up.
No.
Fucking Sam Ramo, who won our smart race last week, and who's notoriously an asshole, and his dad is even more of a notorious asshole and a hothead, actually got banned from a Valenti mod series season from a few years back, got thrown out for being angry, which was on full display here again. There's a restart and kind of a racing deal. I don't know. George Bissett, the Mad Pup, is his nickname, which is fucking great. He dove it in three, and then Ramu didn't really see him, kind of wheel hopped, and he went up in the fence, completely destroyed his car. And then George's car, I don't know if it was damaged or what, but they both ended up in the pits down in the infield next to each other. And Sam Ramu's team just goes over to his car and like pulls him out of the car and starts beating the shit out of him. It was a huge fucking deal. His dad like whipped somebody with a helmet. It was a big fucking to do, to the point where I don't even know who. Oh yeah, that's right. Keith Rocco lucked his way into $10,000. Apparently he wasn't even planning on showing up, but because of all the rain pushing the Stafford schedule back, he's like, fuck it, we'll show up on Sunday since we can race now, see how it goes. Late entry comes away at $10,000. Kid Rock with the big win. But yeah, so Sam Ramo is now banned from pretty much every modified racing series in New England. The NASCAR has not responded yet, but of course, you know, the American Canadian Tour is like, fuck you, you're not coming back to any of the tracks we work with. Tri-Track chimed in. They also said, go fuck yourself. The Modified Racing Series banned them again, which is pretty funny. And then I am certain that NASCAR at some point will step up, because George got taken away to the hospital. I guess he's fine, but it was ugly. It was very ugly. And, you know, I love fighting. I really do. I love to see it at the racetrack. I think it's warranted sometimes, but that's driver on driver.
Yeah.
Let these guys handle it. When the fucking, you know, everyone's uncle and then a bunch of morons who, like, you know, roll tires over the wall or whatever the fuck it is. At these
that or when stops. When weapons get involved, that's no good.
Yeah, don't, like, swinging helmets and shit. It's just like, you know, there's no real place for that. Like, settle it like men. Let the drivers handle it. It was an on-track altercation that started the whole thing. So let these guys sort it. And, you know, I'll be honest, George drives like an asshole. He does. And I even texted you guys, like, oh, like, the Twitter video, like, showed up, whatever. I was like, I bet you it's George's fault, if anything. I bet he fucking deserved it. And I don't know if he did or not, but, yeah, fuck. No place for that. And then, you know, I'm glad to see the Raymond team get told to pound sand, because they always do shit like that. So we'll see. But that was my weekend at Thompson. I don't know what the fuck else happened after that. Again, they got all of the divisions in. God bless them. I guess the poor street stock guys, they had a 40-lap feature, and they were, like, pegged dead last on the lineup, and they sat in staging because of the fight and because of all the other shit for, like, an hour and a half or something like that. Imagine being, like, you know, strapped into a Ford Tempo for, God, like, fucking 3 hours. But yeah, all in all, a great weekend at Thompson. And again, the icing on the cake is that they're coming back in 2024. I'm certain it'll be on the NASCAR Modified Tour schedule. That's all but confirmed. And just, yeah, more racing at Thompson is a good thing. And if you ever get a chance to go there, please do. It hasn't changed since the 1980s, for better or worse. And you can get high there now. so that's kind of tight. So that was my weekend at Thompson. That's, yeah, my last asphalt race for the year, I think, unless I can make it down to Waterford next weekend, which I don't think I will. So,
damn.
Well, what about Charlotte?
That's dirt.
Oh, that's dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's dirt. Which I'm definitely going to that. I'll definitely be there Friday and Saturday night for the World Finals. They're running it in a way where the big blocks, 410s, and the dirt late models run every single night, which is kind of fucking sick. No heats, no, well, I guess there are some heats, but no hot laps or qualifying, which is kind of a bummer for me because I like watching that. It's just all racing for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So straight into the action, and I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of good buddies there and having a good time in Charlotte in a couple weeks. So
cool. Well, do we have any DARF then to talk about, or were we all just too busy to really pay attention?
I was gonna say me, but yeah. You can lay, I think you already laid your reasons out, but you can go ahead.
Just for giving myself the biggest fucking hangover for cup race day.
DARFism. Yeah, mine's for falling asleep stoned and getting sunburned. So that's what I did wrong.
I didn't do anything dumb this weekend, other than I guess trying to go to Oswego. But I mean, again, I don't totally regret it.
We egged you on, and I'll be honest, like, and maybe this is just me, but like, anytime you can go see this shit in person, even if it's a short program or it gets rained out or whatever, it's always good to go support. So good on you for making the drive and trying to make it, because you never fucking know, they could have gotten that whole thing in.
Yeah, they weren't gonna, but I was like,
and they didn't, but they could have. So yeah, it's always worth a shot.
Yeah, whatever, it's fine. But I will say, fuck you to Fox News for tweeting out some bullshit about Bubba Wallace, like they seem to do so often. I don't know if you guys saw that tweet, but it was basically, there was a quote that Bubba said where after the race he's being interviewed, and you know, he's disappointed for not making the playoffs, but he actually took it very graciously, like for as
a rarity.
Yeah, well, he's been getting better with it, but for as emotional as he gets, he was very gracious after the race, and what he said was, you know, me 10 years ago, I'd be beating myself up, but I think, or I'd be punching a wall. No, I'd be, if 10 years ago, I'd be punching a wall. Fox News took that quote and just made a headline of, Bubba Wallace wants to punch wall after missing the playoffs, and it's just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. So, fuck Fox News, fuck Fox, sorry to the one dude. No, he works for NBC, right? I can't remember, but if you work for Fox, I'm sorry, fuck you.
Damn.
Anyways.
I second that.
Anyways, so that brings us to the video of the week, and we don't have to, this one's not one we're gonna have to talk for 2 hours about, but it's a very fun watch. It was a 2006 episode of Wind Tunnel with Dave Despain, featuring Chris Economaki, who once again was more or less the star of the 87 Talladega race we watched a few weeks back. But you know, this is a pretty standard, you know, hour long you know, bio slash interview with Chris. And it does a really good job of quickly telling his story of his origin in motorsports. You know, Chris, again, for those who only watched the Talladega race, you only knew him as this kind of crotchety announcer, but Chris literally witnessed and documented and participated in the birth of motorsports in the U.S. more or less, or at least the popularization of it, because, you know, he grew up in New Jersey, pretty much in the neighborhood of New Jersey's Gasoline Alley, which was kind of a racing hub for, you know, the racing scene of the Northeast of the 30s. He also grew up in the same neighborhood as National Speed Sport News. He started selling that as a new, he sold the first paper ever as a newsboy. He later became a columnist, and he and his family ended up owning the paper towards the end of his life. But yeah, Chris was there at the beginning. He worked as a promoter at tracks. He worked at, not just at tracks, but at fairgrounds, which he gets into later on in the show. Basically, he's more or less a carnival barker. They talked about how back in those days, fairgrounds were a very important aspect of both auto racing and of agriculture. They actually brought a huge amount of money in for these agricultural fairs, you know, the county fairs, the state fairs, all throughout the country. Yeah. And racing was a huge part of that. Chris's part was the guy who took the money. Like, everybody paid to get into the fair, but Chris is the one who made them pay to get into the grandstands, which, you know, again, he really had to do a great job. And that's how they ended the show, I believe, with him giving an example of what he used to do, which I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but that really just gives you a scope of where Chris was in motorsports history. Anybody have anything to add real quick before I move on? Just give myself a breath here.
Sorry, I had a bandmate looking into the window here making faces at me, so I got...
Oh, okay.
Is it Brady? Some good no, it was fuck Ben. Himself.
Yeah.
No, I like
Nick,
Ben.
Nick came by and, you know, gave me the finger a few minutes ago, and yeah, they've been coming up to check on me, make sure I'm not dying like a hot dog in a car. Yeah, I love this video, and again, it's not the most exciting one. It's a great little documentary, but and it's a great introduction to Chris Economaki, but I love Wind Tunnel. It was always such a great show on the Speed Channel. I miss the Speed Channel in general, and I miss Dave Despain being in media, and I think I said this last week, and really my thoughts on it haven't changed a whole lot, because I had actually seen this video before, and yeah, just voices like Chris Economaki and Dave Despain, just you don't really see that too much anymore. Someone who is so deeply involved for so long to where they're able to, you know, again, like last or a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the comedic bits he was doing and how goofball it was. And if Michael Waltrip was doing, we'd all be fucking trying to burn the Fox headquarters down, you know. But when Chris Economaki is frying an egg on Cale Yarbrough's floor, like, you pay attention because he commands so much respect, but the knowledge and the time he's put into it. And it's just, yeah.
I think probably the one of the most concise points about who Chris was in motorsports was that you know, Chris loved racing, and
he really did. Yeah,
what he tried to do as, you know, an announcer, track promoter, as a columnist, every involvement of motorsport was to capture the magic that he saw and try to spark that same magic in people who are just checking the sport out or those who've been around for a long time. You know, I think, you know, Chris was both someone who, if you were like us, a real diehard fan, he'd always have something to tell you. But if you were a newbie, he'd always have a way to bring you in. And
He could tell you the same damn thing too. He could tell somebody new and give them that understanding in such a simple way. And I think, yeah, you're right. A lot of that has to do with just the love he had for it. So,
Let me go through real quick though, because there were a couple things that I did want to point out. There was one quote that he said about being prepared for races. He was always prepared. I don't waste any time getting ready. I'm always ready, which was true. He was always at every single he was at every race, every important race in the United States. Probably up until the 90s, I gotta imagine he was always there.
Up until he couldn't anymore, yeah, he was there.
Yeah. There were a couple points that he made that were. I don't want to say controversial, but definitely interesting to hear through 2023 lenses. And the first was they brought up at this point, you know, this is after Dale Earnhardt's death, 2006. At this point, soft walls and safer barriers and all those things and all these different safety aspects were becoming a big part of sports and being promoted as such. Like after, you know, Earnhardt's death and all the other deaths, NASCAR really wanted to promote how safe the sport was becoming, and Chris kind of objected to that because he always thought that part of the allure of motorsports was a danger, which isn't wrong, but at the same time nobody wants to see anybody get hurt, and Chris wasn't against all these changes, he just wasn't into the promotion of such, which I can understand.
It wasn't all sunshine. I think the most famous clip of him is after Neil Bonnet died. And we've mentioned that on the show before, at least for NASCAR fans anyway, when he opens up the Daytona 500 broadcasting. It was supposed to be a great week of racing. It wasn't, or something like that, you know.
Yeah,
it's so
yeah.
matter of fact, and like it carries so much weight, and it's so straightforward. Like, I don't know if you'd hear that out of modern broadcast, especially NASCAR. Like, I don't know if you'd hear that.
yeah.
A voice of such honesty and, you know, stark. Like, and again, coming from a guy who loves the sport so much. And has been around for so. Came out of the meat grinder era, you know, which he certainly did. He saw a lot of people die.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why that clip always carries so much weight for me, and I always bring it up as like the prime example of him as a journalist. It was his ability to be so fucking honest. And,
another point, which I would say most people would agree with, was he said the worst thing that happened to auto racing was technology, and he means that not so much when it comes down to. The actual cars themselves, but in the cost that was associated with getting these cars so fast and having so much technology ingrained in them. He says motorsports more or less becomes a charity case at that point because you can't race at these levels with these vehicles without having sponsorship. So instead of bringing your own vehicle to the track and earning sponsorship because you're fast and you have a well-built car, you know, you have to get that funding. And another point that he made, which again is kind of evergreen, and we posted the clip on our Instagram, but he talks about how midget racing, which was really probably the most popular form of motorsport up until the 50s in the U.S.
100%.
When the cars became almost standardized, and I'm kind of paraphrasing now, but there's a manufacturer that instead of everybody home building their own vehicles, there was one manufacturer that built the same vehicle, and it was, again, so fast and so adjustable and all this, but cars couldn't pass. They all looked the same. People got bored with it, and not quite overnight, but within a couple years, everybody switched over to NASCAR as far as being the most – not NASCAR, but stock car racing, I should say.
Right.
That became the most popular form of motorsport. And, again, these points about – sounds kind of familiar to today, you know, and
yeah, sure does.
Throughout many different forms of motorsports over the years. So a lot of these points, you know, this comes from someone who saw it all. And even though he didn't make it to 2023, you know, not even 20 years ago, all this stuff still holds true to today.
Yeah.
There's a great Tony Stewart impression of Chris.
That was my favorite part.
That was really good.
So good.
There's another great story of Chris having to get an interview with AJ Foyt at the track. Chris Chris watched him take a walk around this dirt track, and his first question was, you know, did you learn anything walking around the track? And AJ answered with, well, you know, Chris, I got to take a walk in the morning so I can take a shit. So, you know, just I'm sure he had millions and millions of stories like that throughout the years. So I got to do some more digging on Chris. There's got to be books and stuff about him, I'm sure.
I think he has written a couple of books, and yeah, I've never read any of them, and I probably should. So,
They go to Hinchcliffe Speedway, which I believe that was the first track, not the first track he ever went to, but the first track he ever like promoted at. This is the same track that Lost Speedways went to a few years ago in New Jersey. It was also a Negro Leagues ball field, and they actually just this year started playing minor league baseball in the field again. Chris, the real point
about
this.
Oh, that's right. They saw that Matthew Dillon was hanging out there and getting video. Yeah.
I would say the real point about this, though, is Chris is just taken aback by how much graffiti is all this place. And multiple times, he's just like, this is the graffiti capital of the U.S. Like, this is insane. He just can't believe what he's looking at.
He wasn't even paying attention to Dave Despain anymore. He was just so preoccupied with it. Just graffiti.
Well, the guys are coming back from the bar. Are you guys done in there?
We had enough.
You had enough? Well,
they're cutting themselves off.
Oh, we're going to the locker. You guys ever been in the locker room in Richmond?
No.
That's a place to go. I guess I'm about to go there. Well, love that fucking room.
We got like 5 minutes left here.
We can keep going here. I just get my plans sorted out. I just wanted to put that out there to the listeners that the locker room of Richmond, Virginia, you will smell like a cigarette when you're done, but you will get fucked up in there for not a whole lot of money. And I guess they have wings for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, continue, Chris Kotomak.
we'll finish it up here real quick. He also makes this interesting point about at this point IRL is still around. But he thought one of the more important things that Indy had to do was hire more. He made the joke they should start a diversity program to hire more American drivers, because that was one of the things that was hurting the popularity of the IRL in the U.S. And that made me think of Joseph Newgarden, who, just by looking at that name, you would never imagine he's an American. Very, very weird.
Joseph spelled with a fucking F.
Never in my life.
No. But really, I'll kind of wrap it up with this, because again, you should really watch it. It's just very, it's funny. It's entertaining. It's poignant. You can learn some
things.
It's
very informative.
It's for 45 minutes. It's well worth your time. And I would say definitely one of the most must watch videos on our playlist, I would say.
100%. I'm sure it's not the last time we'll talk about Chris Kotomaki on here.
Not a chance. But for next week's video, so NASCAR is in Vegas this week, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
But next week they're in Homestead. So
I had to think about that for a second.
Next week they're in Homestead, and Homestead announced this week that they were the race was going to be the 400. Bush is going to be sponsoring in honor of Kevin Harvick.
That's cool.
Which is a lovely tribute. But for this video of the week, we're going to be watching a different Kevin Harvick tribute. That's right. We're going to be watching the 2000.
Oh no! We finally get to the big reveal of the video.
I guess you'll have to fucking wait till next week, huh?
I was on the edge of my seat waiting to hear the big reveal.
Has there been another Kevin Harvick tribute? Do we give a shit?
No.
Maybe we don't care. I don't know.
What other Kevin Harvick is there?
Well, shit.
Damn it, Brian. No.
Well, just in case, we'll definitely post that on the podcast information page, whatever. You'll know what it is. It involves Kevin Harvick. We don't even know what it is.
Apparently, I don't know. It might not.
Maybe it doesn't. Who knows? But, Jesus. So are you coming to Thirsty Beaver tonight, True Love? Are you going to come to Charlotte and hang out with us? You had enough?
Yeah. I did too much damage at the Thirsty Beaver last weekend. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, I'm certain that you'll get videos from Brady and I tomorrow night about
that. I'm sure I will. I can't wait for his rude
incredibly insensitive videos.
And full of insults.
Yeah. Just mean. Yeah. But that Brian was talking. He's gone now. You can find him on the internet at Speedway Screens on Instagram, Speedway TSJ on Etsy. Again, he sells cool shit. And True Love, you want to talk about who you are?
I'm still Snake Mountain True Love.
Still Snake Mountain True Love. Always, once and forever, or always, or some shit. And I'm Rob Motes, underscore unofficial. I'm on my way to get shit-faced at the locker room here in Richmond. So if you're listening to this in the past, you can find me there. I will be at the Thirsty Beaver Saloon tonight in Charlotte, North Carolina. Come out. Brady Heck's going to be opening. He's a real asshole, as we've discussed. But he's a great singer, and he's playing bass in our band, too, so we can't get away from him. That's going to be fun. And then we'll be at the Camel in Richmond on Saturday night with Wilson Springs Hotel. That's going to be a good show as well. So, and I, like I said, I'll be at the World Finals in a couple weeks, first weekend of November. That'll be probably my last trip to the racetrack this year. And I don't think you have anything else coming up, True Love, right? Oh, you're going to Martinsville.
I'm going to Martinsville, and depending on my money, I want to come to the Dirt Finals, so we'll see.
Well, we'll have a good time no matter what, somehow. So, because you'll make it to the Beaver. I know you will. I trust you.
Yeah.
But thanks for tuning in. Feel bad for Brian, but we can do your plugs, buddy. So it is what it is.
Sorry, Brian.
But we'll see you next week, and we'll talk about Kevin Harvick, I guess. So
maybe.
All right. Have a good night. I'll see you later.
Bye.